This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, from a small conference room in the Ritz-Carlton there in Philadelphia next to Michael Lombardi to the Las Vegas Strip where millions will be wrapped with attention. The Bellagio fountains in the background behind the stage. The 2022 NFL Draft is here. The speculation comes to an end in a few hours as we welcome you in. The Lombardi Line, of course, presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher. Generally, I'll look straight into the camera and kick it to the big guy right in front of me. But this time, he's right here. And it's a pleasure to have Michael Lombardi. I said the conference room in Philly because that's where it all started, right?
Wonderful introduction. Bertrand Bell, who we should honor today, took a train ride to Minneapolis to try to recruit Bronco Nagurski to get a player to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. And in that conversation, he couldn't get it done. And when he went back, he went to the other owners and said, fellas, we got to stop this bidding war. We got to stop this. We need a draft. We need some way to organize this whole thing so that there's balance between it. Because, you know, I had a chance to sign this player. I couldn't do it. Somebody else was bidding more. And they all agreed for the good of the league. George Halas, wow. The Mara family, who were dominating the NFL in terms of signing because of their revenues, they all agreed to it. And then 1936 became the very first draft. In 35, the great Don Hutson, one of the greatest receivers of all time, people don't know about, the Alabama Antelope.
He'll be in the book.
He will be in the book. The Alabama Antelope, he was deciding between two teams, the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Green Bay Packers, both in the league. He signed contracts with both teams. The one contract from Green Bay reached the league office earlier than the Brooklyn one did. How, I don't know, but it's right there. And he became a Green Bay Packer.
So the concept of the draft was to level the playing field. And your boy there in Philly essentially said, we need a draft. That was probably the first time they had heard the word draft. Like, we knew it from war. We knew it from other right. But this was a way of leveling the playing field, and competitive balance needed to be evened out.
Right. When he was on the Pullman car headed back from Minneapolis, and he realized that he was never going to be able to get players to come to Philly, and his franchise was going to go bankrupt. He was going to lose all his money. He just said, look, for the good of the league, I got to convince these guys. And on a white piece of paper, on that Pullman train, he decided to come up with the concept of the draft. And this is where we are. And then, Chet Forte of ESPN goes to Pete Rozelle and says, hey, would you mind if we telecast the draft? And Rozelle's like, why would anybody watch?
So it fell in his lap?
It just falls in his lap. Why would anybody watch? So they sold the rights to the draft, I'm sure, for peanuts, and then the next thing you know, this has all been, the NFL has been very serendipitous in terms of the fortune that has come upon them because the game is so great and the power and the ability to bet and and the television, and it's the perfect game at the perfect time. And now this draft is beyond my wildest comprehension.
Well, Michael Lombardi, I say now, what, 85 years later, the Bellagio fountains in the background going to light up the stars as they approach the stage. And what's fascinating is 85 years later, we're going to see something. Expect the unexpected is generally what you hear with the draft. But how about eight teams with two picks in the first round? We haven't seen that yet in the draft. So there's plenty still to get into and uncover. I want to start here. Yep. If you were, let's pull back and then we'll zoom in on the draft. If you were to grade the draft overall, it's not sexy, but productive, I would assume, is where we're going to go. But how would you, I've asked you this the past couple of years, how would you grade the overall talent in this draft across the board through seven?
Look, I think the draft has certainly got enough depth. There's always good drafts. You know, as Walsh would always say to me, when the scouts would complain about the draft, he would always say, you know, we only need 12 good players. Like, there's enough players here, and it's how the players fit your system. This is more, this draft, the success of this draft is going to come down to the teams that have harmony between their coaches and scouts, where they can develop the talent from within. Because all these players are just not ready to play yet. They're not made for television yet. They're not just finished products. There's a few, but they're not. And I think that in this draft, you just have to really be good in player development, getting those guys to do the things you need to do. So I would say, like all drafts, it's probably a B-
okay,
in terms of
that's
overall.
Fair.
You know, but it's there's talent here. I don't want to dismiss some of these kids that are playing, but they're going to need some work. I think the reason we don't like the draft is because the draft doesn't have a signature quarterback. That's why the draft is always, you look less of the draft.
Well, think about it. 2021, 1, 2, 3, Lawrence, Wilson, Lance. Will we see a top five quarterback taken this year? It's, you know, that would be only the second time in the last 20 years we haven't had a quarterback taken in the top five. And I don't think we're going to see one taken in the top five. Maybe once we get to six, which we'll get to in a little bit. And by the way, you can go to VSiN.com. Michael Lombardi wrote about, not necessarily the draft gets started because there's so much uncertainty at the top, but you wrote about at VSiN.com, the draft essentially starts where Carolina sits at 16. Is going to get very interesting.
I think it there, and I think Houston, because of the uncertainty of what Houston's going to do. Nobody knows what Nick will do. And I think, you know, now at two, if look, there's always been a debate going on in Jacksonville. I think the ownership group would really like to take Hutchinson.
Yes.
Clean.
Yes.
I think there's an element in that building that want to take Neal.
No kidding.
Yeah, I think there is. And I think that the head coach, I mean, the general manager, Trent Baalke, I think he wants to take Walker. So, you know, this is unprecedentedly heard of in terms of the ability to not know who the first pick in the draft. I mean, last year we waited 8 minutes for the card to get turned in.
Eight of the 10 minutes allotted.
Is it 10 or 12?
I think it's 10 in the first round.
I thought it was
10. Yeah, it's 10. They've switched it up a couple of years ago.
If it would have been 10, great story. If it would have been 10, then Lynn Swann might have been a Dallas Cowboy.
Pray tell.
So in 1974, the Pittsburgh Steelers were on the clock, and Chuck Noll loved John Stallworth. And they loved John Stallworth as an organization, but they also loved Lynn Swann. Bill Nunn, Dick Haley, and Art Rooney, they all loved him. And they were going back and forth on the pick, back and forth on the pick, back and forth on the pick. And at the final moment, with about 12 seconds to go on the clock, they finally convinced Noll that Stallworth would be there in the fourth round. They convinced him of that. So they turned in the card for Swann. Behind that card being turned in, the Cowboys had figured out who it was. And it was and they had Lynn Swann written on the card. So that little bit of time makes all the difference in the world.
That ended poorly for Mike Tyson, the Vikings, a few years back, remember?
Right. Well, that was Red McCombs just wanted to pass. I mean, you know, Red McCombs was – look, what fans don't understand is every slot is tied to money.
Yeah, sure.
So when you pass on a pick, you're lowering the value. And then what, he passed down, he picked Kevin Williams.
Yeah.
So we still got the same guy he wanted.
Oh, so you think that – oh, I didn't realize that was purposeful.
Oh, I think it was definitely purposeful. Why not? I don't want to pay this for that player.
So you've run a draft, and I'll pluralize that. You've run drafts. So let's talk about where we are right now. As you mentioned, you're a little off with your body clock being out west, 9 o'clock as opposed to noon starting. So what are the GMs? What are the front offices? What are the conversations? What's happening right now as we're just hours away from the draft?
What's happening now is pretty much nothing. I mean, you have your idea about what's going on. You don't believe pretty anything that's going on. They got TVs going on in the rooms, but at this end of the day, you're just waiting to see what transpires and have your plan in place. Look, if this happens, this is what we'll do. If this doesn't happen, this is what we'll do. And in this draft, I will say this very strongly. I don't think anybody can say there's surprises in this draft, because this is a draft based on individuals' ability to evaluate. So if somebody picks somebody outside the mocks in the top eight, let's not panic, because all these players are fairly even. And I think that's where the uncertainty comes in for teams. If you're Joe Douglas, or if you're Joe Schein, and you're sitting there in your first draft, you're running it, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, because there's nothing etched in stone. Whereas in, you know, when Barry Sanders came out, it was going to be Troy Aikman one. Going to be Mandrich two.
That's right.
You know, it was going to be Derek Thomas three, or Barry Sanders three, Derek Thomas four, Deion Sanders five. You knew that, you know, so you had a sense of where everybody was going. This one, you just don't know. I mean, you don't know what Detroit's going to do. You don't know what Houston's going to do. You certainly don't know what the Jets are going to do with their first pick. Maybe they take an offensive lineman. The Jets have to be tactical, knowing that whatever they want to do at 10, they can't pass. They have to pick at four.
Walker's 450 to go one overall. That's prohibitive. The question, and Michael Lombardi just brought it up, what are the Lions going to do? Are they going to go hometown with Hutchinson, who on a lot of people's board is the number one overall prospect, or a guy they love in Thibodeau? We'll get to that in a bit. I just have 2 minutes. We'll break. We'll come back and further the draft conversation here on the Lombardi Line. But here's the question. I mean, we've slow rolled what really is happening tonight. Your boy Embiid's north of the border the thumb. Like, how are you going to handle game six with your beloved 76ers? You got a love-hate situation going on, How are you going to handle this?
I'm assuming they're going to lose, which is what they're going to do. And so, you know, and I'm assuming that the Raptors will come out and play. I mean, that line being -1.5, Philly still being favored.
Yep.
After it, really, I think what people are missing the boat on is the fact that the Raptors could have easily won game three. I mean, they had game three. They dominated. The only time the 76ers led in that game was when Embiid hit the three in overtime.
That's right.
So, I mean, they had every opportunity. And I've said this before, with Van Fleet out, I think they have a better chance, because they put a bigger guy on Maxey, and it hurts Maxey with length.
Yeah, Van Fleet compromised him defensively big time. And like you and I said, it's not just that he looked aesthetically, frankly, chubby. He looked spent.
Yeah.
He looked gassed.
He looks not healthy, and I think that's a real issue. So
game six in Toronto, Michael Lombardi told you.
What is tip-off? What time is tip-off?
It's 7 o'clock here.
I'll be on the air. Hopefully it'll be in a little corner.
Four o'clock here.
Yeah. I mean, look, I said if they lose Monday, this is going to be – how about Doc's press conference?
How about an all-time defensive rant by Doc Rivers?
And then how about he's wrong about it? He said the team he lost to 3-1 in the first one in Orlando, it was the Spurs who won, not the team he lost to.
I mean, how does he get away with this? I swear to you, I thought of you, and I think you're in his head. Because you're the biggest guy not necessarily throwing darts, but you've been critical in a good way about Doc Rivers. And Doc Rivers was absolutely defensive yesterday. We'll get to that and more. The draft is upon us. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
It's time to download Nevada's premier. Good job, Kev. Premier sports betting app BetMGM Sports has all your favorite wagering options, in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the Strip, ring that state-issued ID, and you're ready to bet within minutes. You're going to love the state-of-the-art technology, fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, located here in Nevada. You got a gambling problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. Who is better than Kevin, who always connects with Michael Lombardi, who is here live, but he generally connects with him, whether it's out at the Borgata or his office there in Jersey. It's nice to put faces to names and really see everybody is. Have the big guy here.
It really is. And I want to correct something. I said Bronco Nagurski. The guy that deserves most of the credit for the draft is Burt Bell, but it was Stan Kostka, a fullback from Minnesota that he couldn't sign. It wasn't Bronco.
It all comes back to Stan Kostka.
It comes back to Big Stan, the Polish prince. It came back to him, and he was in the lobby of that hotel, and he was, but without any agent, he was directing who he was going to sign with. And Bell made him a great offer, and it wasn't good enough, and Stan took another team and made him wait, and this is why we have the draft. So we should honor Big Stan tonight.
I think we should.
We should have a pierogi and honor him.
Well, behind the glass, they're doing shots for Stan Kostka.
I will.
Hey, the reason I brought it up is because nobody's a better historian than you, and I don't think many realize this goes back to 36.
Yeah, 36.
Think about that.
36.
And so we're sitting here 22, and the draft has gotten bigger every single year, but this goes back, 80-plus years ago.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, it really is. And then, you know, they had the war with the – and then all of a sudden what they started to do is they started to have the drafts earlier, right? So they had the drafts during the season because they wanted to get ahead of the AFL. I mean, in 67, when the Bears drafted Sayers and Ditka, and Butkus, they did that on a bye week. That was in November after Thanksgiving. They all went down
They were doing it then
so they'd get a jump, and then the AFL would do it the next week. They were competing against one another.
Well, just think about the Marino Kelly draft when they did the 30 for 30, and they showed the aesthetic of it where they're just sitting at a bunch of tables with the old school phone, and what it's going to be like with the Bellagio and the fountains in the background. It's awesome.
Well, you know, that phone bill. Think about the phone. So, which think about
kids
this.
Don't know about phone bills,
right?
Long
they don't know about phone
calls.
Bill, but there used to be when you walked into the draft room, you had one phone. It was like the bat phone in the bat cave, right?
Yeah.
And so that phone connected to the guy in New York, and you had to make sure that phone line was working. And then you were on that phone because he was relaying you who was picked. So they had like three or four. Like Al Davis's brother used to do that job. He was from Brooklyn. He lived in Brooklyn. He would go down there, and he would sit at the table, and he would fill out the sheet, then take it up to the commissioner, turn the card in, and that's how that thing got going. And so, you know, you would stay on that line because we didn't have television back when I first started. The draft really wasn't in your room. So you had to listen to what the guy said, who got drafted, and then he had to write his name down.
let me pepper you with some randomness. We got Vinny joining us in just a little bit. Of course, 2 hours here, Lombardi Line, Michael Lombardi live in studio. Thrilled to have him. I will mention that Michael's grinding. He was on with the boys in the morning today. We've got the VSiN Draft Betcast coming up with Gil and the boys later. Out at Circa, Michael Lombardi, Pritt, Sean King are going to be involved. You can find it, VSiN.com. So again, 7 Eastern time tonight, VSiN.com, YouTube, VSiN app. Get involved. It's the industry standard, I like to say, the way that we're kind of setting the tone with these big events. Pepper you, Willis.
Yeah.
Is he universally number one as far as top of the quarterback ranks?
I don't know if he's universally number
one. He's 155 to go. As far as first quarterback off the board.
I think there's certainly a debate that could be. I've gone through. I think there's certainly people think Pickett. I mean, everybody thinks Pittsburgh at 20 is going to pick Willis. Somehow there's a narrative out there that Mike Tomlin loves Willis. Like, I don't know how that, I don't know if that's true. Mike Tomlin's not the guy, to me, that strikes me as he's telling people who he likes.
Right.
Like, I don't think that's
the case.
He's
a little more cagey
than that. I think he's a little more. I mean, he's going to play a little different poker game, right?
Yes.
So I'm told that if the Steelers went another position, they could take Carson Strong in the second round.
No kidding.
Yeah, like that they could move in the second round and take him.
So Willis, by the way, I woke up this morning, he's 155. He's now minus, he's $2 to be the first quarterback off the board. Pickett coming back the other way, plus 150. Those seem to be the two, but then you hear buzz about Corral and you hear buzz about Ritter and you hear buzz about Sam Howell.
I think 32 is, you know, if I think 20 and 32 are the quarterback target spots. Now, if somebody wants to come in between that, Pittsburgh certainly has talked. I mean, they've openly discussed they could take a quarterback. 32, the Lions could too. If the Lions want to, if they want to move on from Goff next year, then they certainly should do that. You know, and so I think that this is the time to draft one. But look, here's the reality. If just because you pick them doesn't mean they're good, that you better make sure you have grades that say they're good. This is the issue.
The market, Michael, and you, let's give you credit because you're not going to say it. This was, I don't know, 5 weeks ago now, you said the name to focus on is Walker. At that point, Hutchinson was minus 260. That's a huge favorite to go one overall. He now, Walker, is minus 450. He's going first overall.
It seems like that.
I mean, that would be absolutely, the market would be way, there'd assess a lot of variance if he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Balke likes him, and you can see that that's coming out. And so, you know, for whatever the reason, you know, look, this is a draft where it's based on taste, based on preference, based on your ability to believe what player you can develop to be the best player.
Who would you take one?
I might take Jordan Davis.
That's exactly. I'm so glad you said that. You like 6'6", 340 that runs like the wind and is dominant. Like we were just talking about this. Michael and I said, I won't get into the particulars, but are we sure he's not the best player in the draft, Jordan Davis? Now, Georgia defensively is going to have four players in the first round taken. That's a ties a record. We know for most likely, but you're not so sure Jordan Davis isn't the best in the draft.
I mean, look, I said it on Mitch and Pauly. I've been saying it all along. I mean, who's blocking him? How many humans on planet Earth are 6'6", 345?
He's an outlier.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, one of the things you want to when you draft, you want to draft uniqueness. You want to draft elite traits.
Special.
You know, one of the reasons why I thought Baker Mayfield shouldn't have been the first pick of the draft, there was nothing special about him. He's an undersized quarterback with a good arm. You know, I mean, Lamar Jackson had elite skills. He may not have been an elite quarterback. He had elite skills, elite arm, elite speed. He goes 32.
MVP.
Like, MVP. I mean, so like you want to draft unique. If you're paying money, you want elite. Now, Walker's got elite skills. Let's be honest here. It doesn't always translate on the field as elite. 9.5 sacks in 29 games. But he's got elite skills.
Would you say he's raw?
Yeah, I think he's raw. I think that's the way Georgia rushes, the way they rush, the way they want to control. I mean, I think there's – you can see the upside in the player. Jordan Davis, I think there's a huge upside in the player. Huge.
You know, Derek Stingley Jr., the cornerback out of LSU, he seems to be the one that's kind of jumping up the board, Michael. And right now, he's your favorite at even money to go third overall.
It's unbelievable, right? So last year we saw this with Trey Lance. There's that movement on draft day that seemed to indicate that somebody's getting information out. Now, John McClain was come out and said they don't think who was once covered the Houston Texans for a long time.
McClain retired?
He retired. And he goes back to the Oiler days. And so he didn't think they would do it, but not based on knowledge, just based on knowledge of the people there. I think to me, you know, look, he jumped a Kwanu right there. Like that's pretty, I mean, they could use one thing about the Texans, they could use any one of those players. They could use Neal, they could use a Kwanu, they could use Stingley, Gardner. But for Stingley to be the number one corner, that's kind of surprising. Everybody liked Gardner. But Stingley's freshman tape now, that's special. That's special.
When Dominic gets another sibling, they must name him or her Sauce.
Sauce Gardner.
Sauce Lombardi.
Yeah.
Two, Hutchinson minus 155 in the market right now. Thibodeau plus 110. You know the Lions love Thibodeau. So this is fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's amazing that the information is out that. But look, that the Lions have let that out. But Thibodeau's letting it out, too. Thibodeau's not shy about telling people he's going to the
Lions. He's not shy in general. He's got a big personality.
No, he's telling people he's going there. So, you know, I think if you know you're going somewhere, you don't have to tell anybody.
He is an L.A. kid that kind of has that L.A. personality. And I don't know, would you classify his play on the field as inconsistent or just like odds? Because sometimes the effort wasn't there when he is dominant when he wants to be.
I think he's inconsistent, but he certainly has talent. And I think he could play 34. He can play 4-3. You know, I mean, look, last year, Mekhi Parsons went 12th. There was not a more polarizing player in the draft than Parsons last year. He ends up being the almost rookie of the year, the best player in
the good comp.
You know, I mean, so like we start to beat these guys up. We nitpick. Like Jordan Davis, he has warts. I don't know what they are, but you start nitpicking. You know, so there's always four kind of scouts, and one of the scouts there are. You know, there's the poor scout, right? He just can't find talent. That's the poor scout. Then there's the production scout that just sits there and says, well, this guy did this, and his production is that. And then there's the picker scout, and this guy just picks on one or two things the guy can't do. Pick, pick, pick. You know, this guy doesn't do this. And then there's the projection scout, which is what we all want to be. You can project the talent forward. And I think that some of these players are getting killed by a lot of scouts that are projection scouts.
Are you hearing one name atop the wide receivers?
I think it's Garrett Wilson.
I think you're probably right.
That's the name I hear. But it wouldn't surprise me if Jameson Williams comes in as B's the guy. Because here's why. I don't know the medical. I don't know what the medical says about Williams' knee.
Is it 6 weeks in? Is it 8 weeks in?
Well,
it's
not even that. It's how much arthritis is in that knee.
Gotcha. Long term. You got it. Vinny Maliulo just walked in. No jacket, but all good. He's next here at Lombardi Line. I know this shtick's got to keep going.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, there's still time to make money before the first round of the draft, and it kicks off tonight. Of course, the VSiN NFL Draft Betting Guide has mock drafts. You can see it right there. Just go download it, VSiN.com/draft. So much information, it's invaluable. Analysis for every NFL team, odds, best bets for the first round. Get the VSiN NFL Draft Betting Guide for $10. Go to VSiN.com/draft, and I mentioned Michael Lombardi, who's here in Vegas. We're thrilled to have the big guy with us. He's going to be a part of the draft betcast coming up 7 Eastern, so 4 o'clock our time. You go to VSiN.com, download the app. All the information's there. We really, and I know, Michael, we talk about it all the time, we've been getting up for these big events. I thought our Super Bowl coverage was off the charts.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Masters coverage this year was off the charts.
Unbelievable.
And the draft coverage continues as well. Look who's to your right.
Is the best, my man, a legend.
Thank you, Michael. It's
you know,
good to have you.
Are you going
to
be
studio
in the new Sonny Vaccaro movie?
It's funny. I don't know.
Did
about
you hear about this, Patrick?
I did speak with Sonny about a month ago. There's a book coming out about him, and I spoke with him about, and I'm hopeful that it's in the book, when he got married to Pam. Right before he went to pay, he had the reception at Caesar's Palace, and I was still at the time across the street at the Barbary Coast, which is the Cromwell now. And Sonny came up to the dice table with a couple of his buddies who we knew, and we all knew Sonny and everything. And they pooled their money and decided to take a shot. And dice were cold. They got down to their case bet. Case bet is their last bet. Their case money is their last money. So they said, all right, Sonny said, I'll roll the dice. And they said to him, no, Sonny, you roll the dice. You're getting married. It's good luck. You roll the dice. So Sonny proceeds to roll the dice. And he rolls a good hand, like about 30, 40-minute hand. And we just, when the dice are passing in the casino, like there's nothing like the energy on a dice table when the dice are passed.
The best.
I mean, it's a great vibe. It's exciting. And I tell you the truth, from the house, as a dealer, you love to – that's the kind of game you want to be in, okay? So I was on the floor. I was a floorman at the time. And, of course, Jimmy Vaccaro came over from the book, and we're staying in there, and we're watching the game. And Sonny rolls a hand and wound up paying for his wedding. So
we should explain. Hey. Sonny Vaccaro, of course, Nike exec, signed Michael Jordan to the Nike deal.
He
is also the brother of Jimmy Vaccaro,
yes.
Legendary bookmaker here at the South Point. Works with Vinny.
Now
a legendary family.
What was he, Adidas now?
He was after Nike, but right now he's retired and growing his prized tomatoes.
About a year and a half ago, I interviewed him on the radio. I asked him one question. He answered it for 45 minutes.
There you go.
He's got great stories. Great,
it was unbelievable.
Great recall. He's a great. I'm telling you right now. We love Jimmy, and they're great. They're a great family, as you said. And, Jimmy's got all the great, bookmaking story. When we go back to 1978, I know that's when I met Jimmy, and then met Sonny shortly after that. And he was always kind. He gave me my first a pair of Nikes.
44 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, and Michael Lombardi, by the way, sat down with a legend today, if you don't mind me mentioning.
Oh, no, it was incredible. What an unbelievable experience. Just a tremendously, so what a cool visionary to build this property here. And, you know, I can remember being when I worked here at UNLV, we got to do, I wasn't getting paid any money, we got to work the security of the Holmes-Cooney fight.
Holmes-Cooney fight, which was the largest, I think that was the largest outdoor venue at Caesars.
So they put it in the back of Caesars. We were in the back of Caesars, and I think it was the parking lot.
Yeah.
It's kind of where 15 is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and so it was this huge event. And one of our players, literally, after the fight was over and Cooney was crying, they ran up to the ring and grabbed the stool. Grab the stool. I mean, this is
like as a keepsake.
Only then he went across the street. The kid's name was Aaron Mook. He went across the street, and in front of the Barbary Coast, he auctioned it off.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
That is
on the sidewalk. You talk about visionary, Michael Gaughan. That piece of property where now the Chrysler called the Barbary Coast. Nobody thought anybody was going to do anything with that piece of property. So when Michael bought it, everybody said, "What are you going to do with it?" And he wound up building the Barbary Coast. And, of course, the Barbary Coast became the cornerstone for what became Coast Resorts, which is now part of Boyd Gaming. When Michael and Bill Boyd, they merged, and then Michael spun off and just said, I just want the South Point. The South Coast at the time when it opened. Now,
how many, over under on how many times Coach K was in the Barbary and at Michael's?
Oh, how many times over and under Vinny Maiulo saw Coach K and Michael's?
He's got his own room.
I mean, yeah, you know, in Michael's here, he's got, you know, the jersey is in the back, a little private
it's
area.
So good.
You know, I have to tell you, when we're talking about Sonny's wedding, it was like a coach's convention during that weekend.
I think George Raveling
was his best man.
Yeah. Who works with the Daily Coach.
Yeah, yeah. Sure does.
Hey, so, think about what the names we just mentioned, and we'll get to the NFL draft. First off, Lombardi, the stories. Maiulo, the stories. But then you go the Vaccaros, the Gaughans. I mean, yeah. That is generational stories.
It was an education for me sitting there listening to him talking about, you know, the University of San Francisco, the relationship with Bill Russell that he had, and all the stories that, you know, have come through between Chamberlain and Russell. It's just incredible.
It's a city of stories is what Vegas is. They pass through.
And full disclosure, and I said it, and I'll always maintain it, you know, Michael gave me my first job. You know, when I was coming here, I was attending UNLV during the day, and I was going to we had a dealing school. He had a dealing school. Him and his partner Frank Toti, who I'm sure was
Frank was there.
Frank, I'm sure you'll see him during the course of your stay. They ran the dealing school downtown, and part of the tuition was where you received live training. Okay, so you went to the El Cortez, one of Jackie's properties downtown. Let's say California Club, things like that. And then I was selected to go to a property, a hotel called the Royal Inn, which in the longstanding tradition here in Las Vegas of sentimentality has been blown up. It's no longer there because we, as you know, we implode things
here.
As it happens. It was on Convention Center Drive, just off the strip. So anyway, that's where Michael, he gave me my start. Frank hired me, and that's where I met Jimmy Vaccaro. Real quick, this is how I met Jimmy Vaccaro. The first role, the first professional call of my career, a guy takes the dice and he's kind of looking at me. He's going like, look at this, fresh meat. He's going to, like, you know, play games, right, with the rookie. All right, okay. So he gets the dice and he's, instead of picking them up and throwing the dice, he's got to go like Earl Monroe. He's got to do head fakes. He's got to. He was a cross between Earl Monroe and Arthur Fiedler, like he was orchestrating, the Boston Pops. He finally lets the dice go, and they go flying across they don't land on the table. They go off the table. And on my first professional call, no roll, one's in the cage, and that guy's got the other one. That guy was Jimmy Vaccaro.
Oh, my God.
It hit him right here. He bends down. He looks up. He picks up. He goes, I got a five. I'm like, look at everybody.
Surprised he wasn't at the spot. Vinny Maiulo joins us here. Lombardi Line, of course, draft day. So let's start there.
Yeah.
With the draft here at the South Point handle where we sit.
The draft props opened last Friday. And again, no real surprise. The action on them was was significant and substantial in terms of comparing Handel to the previous few years where we, you know, when we started booking the draft. And we knew that there would be a lot of response, particularly with the draft being here. By regulation, and I said regulation, the Gaming Control Board stipulates that the draft props have to be locked out 24 hours, right. At least 24 hours ahead of time. And so, and the reason for that is, as we know, guys, there's always this behind the scenes and, you know, not just speculation, but there's information out there that somebody knows who's going to go in what particular spot. Because we used a lot of over and under position draft right. positions by player. So, you know, this, the thought on the Gaming Control Board was, listen, we'll let you we'll let the licensees book these bets, but they're going to have to lock out well in advance. As it turns out, though, you know, all week long, there's been, you know, reports, there's mock drafts.
Right.
By the way, there's no mock bets. I mean, they're
right.
So,
right.
you know, with it, you see this run of one-way action. You'll see more one-way action on the draft props than just about any other thing we book during the course of
wow.
the year. So, anyway, you know what? It got a lot of response, and you know,
where's your biggest liability?
I'll tell you one of them. Aiden Hutchinson went from, we used 1.5 under minus 70. It closed to under like minus 40.
No kidding.
Now that's not a real big move, but you think about it. But you think when he went from being the number one pick to now, you know, some people are saying 2 or 3, whatever the case may be. But a lot of them, you know, a lot of them move by position. I mean, how about this one? George Karlaftis from 19.5 over to 22.5 over.
Yeah.
3 positions, not just the juice, but the position in the draft.
If Hutchinson ends up 3 to Houston, is it an auto grab for them? Will they draft him?
You know, you would think, based on the way Lovie Smith operates and what his defense is, needing, you know, think Simeon Rice, think somebody yeah. on that outside. Yeah, but, I mean, there's no slam dunk.
We'll come back and discuss Lombardi Line here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using the code VSIN200, VSIN200, win $200. $10 wager, win $200 if anybody hits a home run. It's that simple. Go to BetMGM.com, download the BetMGM app. I'm sure people are excited today to bet baseball. Nothing else going on. VSiN 200. Make sure you check it out. $10 to win 200.
I didn't even know they changed the ball, Patrick. I mean, what?
This dead ever, ball, man.
Do you ever see a sport that messes with the ball? I mean, look, when you know, yeah. Vinny, when I'm watching all these old players play, Don Hutson, you know, he and Cecil LaBelle, they caught the football back in the day was kind of like, it looked like a large brown, like, almost a half a basketball.
Yeah.
So you just streamlined it. But I've never seen a sport that right. messes with the ball humidors more than this sport.
Humidor's at every park now. So the ball's dead. you know.
And within the game, there's different feels and different textures. Pitchers
lower the mound. And, they want more scoring. Yeah. They eliminate the I don't get it.
They're finicky.
Like, I've never seen a sport that wants to mess with the game. They're like farmers that keep digging up the roots to see if it doesn't grow.
we are farming the landscape of the NFL draft. Michael, I wanted to use this as an example because Jordan Davis, defensive tackles, it's either he's the number one prospect as far as defensive tackles and probably his teammate Wyatt's too, right? I would assume.
Yeah, you know, look, I think ask any offensive lineman how to block him. That's what I would do.
So 14 and a half was the draft position. I think Michael would probably crack up thinking that he goes higher than 14, 15, somewhere in there. Vinny, you closed even on Jordan Davis, but you were saying, Michael, over at Circa, Mike Palm and them, they were complaining about the fact that they had liability on him.
They're
going
hoping
over
he goes,
14
they're hoping
and a half.
He goes earlier. But let's like take an example, right? So everybody says he's going to go to Baltimore because they had Haloti Ngata, okay? All right, great. That makes perfect sense. They've had a big guy. Well, Atlanta's got Dean Pease, who's their defensive coordinator. Dean Pease coached Haloti Ngata. Yeah. Like, he doesn't have anybody on his defensive front that is half the size of this kid. Like, they couldn't use a big defensive tackle in Atlanta. Did you ever watch him play run defense last year? Like, seriously, you don't think he's sitting there in the draft room saying, get me Haloti Ngata, get me Vita Vey. Like, Vita Vey impacts the game. Like, when they don't have Vita Vey in Tampa, their defense isn't as good.
That's right.
So, like, I don't get this whole, well, he's just a tackle. He's just a rundown player. Watch Vita Vey pass, rush the passer.
Is it safe to say, Michael, that we'll see some trades sometime today before? I mean, I'm a little surprised we haven't seen some more impactful
I think this is a draft, Vinny, where everything's worth 50 cents. And if you want to pay 75 cents for a 50-cent piece, you're probably making a mistake.
Okay.
You've almost have to be really diligent in your ability to say, look, I may not get the player, the position I want, but I'm going to get a player of equal ability. If you get desperate in a draft like this, I think it really opens up the margin for error.
Especially with what in a wide receiver area, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the problem with the wide receiver area. You know, for me, this has always been the problem. You take a guy like, and I've made this mistake many times, you take a guy in the first round and some guy in the fourth round is better than that guy.
So I'm glad you brought up wide. Please.
Think about the receiver. It slipped my memory on at Buffalo, Gabriel Davis.
Davis.
He goes in the third round. He's as good as anybody that was picked in the first round that year. Like, that's what you don't want to have happen. And that happens at receiver way more than it does any other position.
Six and a half. Did you set wide receiver six and a half first round?
We did not use us. That would have been the number, probably six and a half, maybe pick them. But we used quarterback. We went very – player position heavy this year in the props to try to make them, you know, very easy to grade, very easy to understand. Yeah. You want to – because there's – you know, the other thing with the draft and in past years, you know, when a guy got picked up as a – you know, you listed how many, you know, linebackers, right, at one time. But what he got drafted as a safety or you know, inside linebacker, outside linebacker. You didn't specify things like that, so we went to defensive players, offensive players. And again, we talked last week, you know, people in last year talking about, well, you didn't say edge. Well, he's a defensive player. You find me an edge quarterback, let me know. And, and you know, when Michael Lombardi and Sean King let us know that there's such a thing.
They're being persnickety. Yeah. Can I do a little experiment with Michael Lombardi here?
Go ahead.
I'm going to give you a wide receiver. You tell me if he's going in the first round or not. Garrett Wilson.
Going in the first round.
Chris Olave.
I think he's going in the first round.
Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williams is definitely going in the first round.
Drake London.
Drake London I have going in the first round.
I know a guy you love, Treylon Burks.
I think Burks is going to the bottom of the first, yes.
Christian Watson, the big kid out of North Dakota State.
I think he's going in the second, the top of the second.
Dotson, Penn State.
I think he's going in the first. I think he's somewhere between 26 and 32.
Who am I missing? Calvin Austin, the Memphis kid.
Calvin Austin, I do not have him going in the first round. I think he's probably going somewhere
one,
in the second.
Two, three, four, five. You've got 5 to 6 players.
Yeah, you missed Sky Moore from Western Michigan, too.
You got him first round.
I have him at the top of the second.
So you've got 5 to 6, and the number set at DraftKings right now in BetMGM at 6.5 on wide receivers in the first round. Just a little experiment.
You know, it's kind of like, and I think what Vinny's done with the bet prop bet is, so Vinny, the book and the draft boards are kind of similar, right? So what Vinny's done is lined up the vertical board. when he does the prop bets, will Jordan Davis go before another player? Mm-hmm. When you do those, that's the horizontal board. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting how the book and the draft boards are the same. You know,
again, you want to make it as easy and determine, you know, easy to understand and easy to determine as possible.
You would be shocked how few people in the draft room can do the horizontal board. Okay, like if you're a scout for a team, even if you're a director, you don't know every player. So if you scout the Southeast Conference, you know those players, but you don't know how they compare to another area. So you can't – that decision to say who's better between player A and player B, there's about three people in an organization that can do that. That's about it.
Because they're so specialized with the scouting.
Correct, because that's they do their area, they write their reports, and you know they cross-check some guys, but it's a cross-check. They haven't been there. So that's why it's really just one or two guys making calls.
So one of the challenges – for us, and you know, you can make the case that it's a challenge for the bettors as well, is that trying to determine what's fact, what's fiction, what's a smokescreen out there and things like that. Because what happens, particularly with social media now, is that once somebody puts something out there, it's gospel for at least, you know, let's say 30 to minutes to an hour. And that, but what I mean by that, then all of a sudden there's this rush to, you know, to play
market adjustment.
Yeah, I mean, so you're getting one way action, and again, does that happen? Yeah, it happens. You get numbers that run in college football, let's say, right? But everybody's, you know, close to with it. Now you've got situations here where, particularly, not every property has the exact same bet or the exact same position in the draft of a player. So you're running. It's one way action, and so sometimes you just have to say, okay, you know, we need to hold up on this and let's get a handle. And I was telling you guys on the during the break, we had a couple of instances where when the bets are coming in, we can tell is it at the counter, is it on a kiosk, is it at one of our sister properties, is it on the mobile, things like that. Well, all of a sudden you see a flood of money coming in. I used the example earlier, you know, where, you know, when you look at our Karlaftis, right, from 19.5 to 22.5,
big jump.
You see this name coming across the bet ticker to where it's on every available app and every available location that's out there, you know. So you say, okay, you know, hold up on it. Like those bets come in, and you're holding up on it. And then you're trying to find out information. So there's a lot going on out there from that.
And then you're missing a really big piece of the pie too. Is like I could talk to a team today and say, you know, we have this guy as a medical reject. We wouldn't take this guy until the fourth round. And then I could talk to another team and say, no, we don't have anything medical on him. And you're dealing with no medical information. Yeah. You don't know, you know, and so guys, and neither are the guys on television who are doing the mock saying, I don't know why they don't pick this guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Todd Gurley. Everybody thought Todd Gurley wasn't going to get a second contract. The Rams picked him and gave him one.
Paid him early.
And then he didn't really have a second contract. He got one, but, you know, that's what worries you about Jameson Williams. Is he going to be able to get a second contract? To me, what worries me about all the quarterbacks in this draft, would you be really wanting to pay a second contract to these guys? You know, and you got to pit them in the first round?
We used 2.5 on the quarterbacks.
Oh, you did?
We did.
I got a book laying 3.5.
We did 2.5 over minus 250, and it went as high as almost $3.
I'm leaning under. I think it's 2. Now, since 13, there's only been one draft that has one quarterback picked in it. Every other draft has had multiple quarterbacks. But I don't see Corral. But what I hear from teams, Corral, I don't see him going, and so he would be the third. I think it's Pickett and Willis if it's 2. The third, you know, I think that Corral would be 3. And
how about Ridder or Howell?
You know, Ridder is, you know, there was talk that Tennessee could take Ridder at the bottom of the first. You know, I can't really see them doing that, but there's been talk. And then I think Howell's more of a second rounder.
We had Willis as the favorite for first quarterback. 155? Minus 50, yeah.
By the way, it is public knowledge, Michael Lombardi, how much these bookmakers make every month. Can you imagine? He just cried the whole entire segment when they make money every month. That's why we have the tissue set up over there. I'm not even being dramatic. It's just like he said, we did this for the better. We did this for the better. You make millions.
You saved that for the last 15 seconds.
How did you fit over there with that ring, by the way? You see that ring? Did it distract you?
You're a distraction.
We're back. Thanks, Lombardi line.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.